Red Robin podcast is powered by Budget Tyres Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by supporters, players and club officials. Head down to Leeds Road and check them out for all your motoring needs.
You're mute. You're on mute, Jonna.
Can you lip read, James?
No.
You're on mute.
We'll start that again. It's another seismic week for Hutchinson Rovers, and the Robins are now just one grand game away from the first ever Super League Grand Final appearance. Join me this week to look back at KR's victory over Lee and preview Saturday's semi-final encounter with Wigan is Craig Escura and James Pearlin. Plus, we try and make sense of the news that Danny Maguire is set to depart Rovers come the end of the season. And I get their opinion on the imminent departure of Rhys Kennedy, with him set to make way for Wakefield's Jai Whitbread. We also celebrate Jez Letton's new four-year deal, and we heap praise on the club women's side as they reach the Championship Grand Final. All this and more on this week's Red Robin Podcast Weekly. James, you've been on holiday. You've had loads of shit coming back home, dealing with baggage, etc., etc. You must be glad to be back home and ready to watch Hutchinson Rovers in a playoff semi-final.
Can't wait, Jonna. Can't wait. Yeah, saves them right for flying Ryanair, doesn't it? You know, sort of. But can't have everything. But no. So great to be back. And just since the beginning of the week, it's just been non-stop news, hasn't it? And it's almost like the weekend's become a bit of a side show in the end.
Yeah, James, you're so right. I mean, there's so much to get through on this week's podcast. It's like every time, isn't there, there's something going on. Never mind on the field, all the stuff that's going on off the field. I mean, Craig, let's rewind. Let's forget. Let's remember, actually, we beat Lee to get into this semi-final. 20 points to 6 victory over Lee Leopards. Tries for Sam Luckley, Ryan Hall, Jack Walker, Schneider with 4 goals. It was a tough old game, wasn't it, Craig? But I don't know what you thought. The Robins looked quite sure, didn't they? Although the scoreline maybe might not reflect it, the performance was very professional, and it's quite reassuring, actually, that it wasn't a crazy scoreline. But in the end, Rovers never really looked too troubled by Lee.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that and being, you know, the word professional, because leading up to it, like, you know, you're just thinking, oh, can we defend like we have been doing in recent weeks? And I thought the defence again was absolutely outstanding. But again, it got to half time and like the nerves kind of went. I said to my mate, I was like, we're in full control of this. There's not a chance, unless we get a man sent off and we get some freakish injuries, we're not losing it. And I actually said at half time, I was like, we've not used Abdul or Jez Litton. So for me, the game management from Willie Peters was excellent there, because he kind of thought he's going to try and tire them out. And when they do tire, he's going to bring Abdul Litton on to just speed everything up. And I think on the podcast last year, we actually spoke about when Tony Smith was here and about we only seem to have like a plan A. And I felt like there was like plan Bs at times, especially in that game, you know, when Lee were going down our right-hand side edge. It kind of worked for him a couple of times, but the scrambled defence, the discipline was there. And it was like Lee didn't have a clue what to do after that. So I just thought from start to finish, it was just, It was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, you're right to highlight that, right, Edge? I mean, key to that is Tom Opacek. I mean, what signing he's been. He's not one player who'll probably get celebrated as much as some of the others, but he's a player who's so, so key. And actually, settle right in that. I was being able to shore up that right end. I mean, James, if you go to the starting lineup, we have Walker Senior, opposite D. Hall, Lewis, Schneider, King, Marcel, Sue, Bachelet, Lynette, and Keller. The bench was probably one that might have surprised a few people in terms of Jordan Abdul, Jez Litton, Matty Staughton, and Sam Luckley. I mean, Matty Staughton definitely deserved to keep his place. After his performance at Wakefield, albeit in the second row. Of course, Hadley was injured, so he missed out. Might have surprised a few people, Reece Kennedy being the 18th man. But I don't know, I likened it to a little bit like football, where your bench, you need your creative players, you need the players who might be able to make things happen when you're down in the dumps. You know, bearing in mind this is playoff rugby, you know, there's no second chance, and maybe having Abdul and Litton, people who can make them things happen when you need them to, is better than having a bench of forwards, you know, who are going to plod down the middle. And ultimately, Willie Peters, again, he seems to have got it right.
Yeah, it certainly did. I think, you know, there was obviously a lot of debate, I think, pre-game about whether he would go with Abdul or would go with Kennedy. And, personally, I thought he would go with Kennedy just purely because of the size of the lead forwards, and just to sort of be able to counter out them. And, you know, when you know, I think there was sort of a lot of noise coming from the league camp about Asiata being back in the team and everything being named the squad, but, you know, ultimately it didn't make the team anyway. So it became a moot point. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, the proof's in the pudding, and, you know, again, once again, Willie Peters got it right. And I think, you know, that it was, as Craig said, you know, he didn't really bring Abdul and Litton on until, you know, late in the second half. And, you know, we would start watching it and thinking, hang on, we knew, didn't probably expect Litton to be on, you know, because the previous week he'd left him on, you know, around 20 minutes ago, and then not even bring Abdul on. I thought, well, actually, yeah, it's probably tiring the lead forwards out, tiring them out, getting them run around a bit, and then you're getting Abdul and Litton in to create that space and those opportunities. So, yeah, again, it pulled another masterstroke.
Yeah, I mean, Lee obviously took the lead. They went ahead on the 7th minute with a penalty. They went 2-0 in front. Schneider levelled it after 22 minutes. It went 2-2. And then Jack Walker, he comes in and scores a try. Obviously departing the Robins come the end of the season. Fantastic offload, Craig, from James Batchelor. He almost put it on a plate for Jack Walker. And Jack Walker is... he's a player who seems to be getting better and better, doesn't he? The more he pulls on that red and white of Wolverhampton Rovers. Looked like he injured himself in the aftermath, but thankfully he was able to carry on. Brad Schneider adds the extras, but it was a great try, wasn't it? I mean, it did look like a training ground move, the way that the shifted the ball out. Batchelor showed his class. For me, he should have been in the Super League dream team, but, I mean, we've already talked about that and what some of the nonsense that was, but a great try for the Robins.
Yeah, it was. You know, James Batchelor, he just owes his class to me. In my opinion, he does, and, you know, he should be, for me, in the England squad come the end of the year. You know, he spotted the gap, but sometimes you kind of look at him and you don't, from different angles, you don't think he's like the biggest of second rowers, but he's so strong. He can read a game. He's always got that ball to offload. And just going on about Jack Walker, you know, how professional has he been? You know, he could have just kind of sat back and gone with the emotions, but he hasn't. He's getting better every week. And it's like, I think we said before, you know, the consistency is key, and it's definitely key for him. And the fact that he was his support players, it is outstanding. You know, the amount of times he's in and around where the ball is, and he's looking always for that offload. So, yeah, great support play from him, and, you know, a great try.
Yeah, and James, I mean, let's just stick on Jack Walker. I know he's leaving, he's going to them lot, and they're so fortunate enough to be getting him. But he's not the biggest of blokes, is he? But he's a brave bloke, and he puts himself in difficult positions. He's not afraid to take the line on. He gets big knocks. He puts his head where he probably shouldn't do. But then also he comes up with a magic as well. There's no doubt if you can keep him injury free, he's an absolutely fantastic addition to any side. And you know what? After the Lachlan Coote departed and we played around with Ethan Ryan, Jack Walker has come the back end of the season. He's proven his weight in gold, isn't he? And he's another one who just slotted seamlessly into the side.
He has, yeah. And I think just really echoing what Craig says, he just took professionalism. He could have come along just for the ride and everything, but he hasn't. He's really bought into the club as well. You know, he's always on Twitter to sort of, posting things, etc., and how much he's enjoying it. And it's a real shame we couldn't keep him. It could be one that's going to come and bite us in the bum later in future years. But, by the same token, I think, at least the club have been honest with him about, direction of where they wanted to go, and that it would only be to the end of the season. And, yeah, full credit to Jack. He's taken it, the bull by the horns, so to speak, and you're taking his opportunities.
The Bradford Bulls by the horns.
And he's just getting better and better and better every week. And he's one of those sort of players that you feel as though if he was able to stay injury free, it would make a great contribution to any team. It's too good for the Championship. It's too good for the low reach of Super League. He needs to be a top six club really to really benefit. And just a shame he's not going to be with Rovers next season and beyond. But hopefully he can see us through to the end of the season.
Yeah.
Next week.
Fortunately, he's found himself at a bottom three club.
That's what I mean, yeah. So
we wish him well, as long as it's not against Hulkings and Rovers. For me, Craig, this was the next try is what won the game for me. 6 minutes later, Hulkings and Rovers going for the second try of the game. Ryan Hall, what an absolute fantastic job he did to spin out of, I think there was four lead players on him to get the ball over the line. Obviously, it went to the screen to see whether he grounded or not. He sent it up as a try, so naturally it was given as a try. For me, though, it was the work before it, which got Ryan Hall into that position, which was so key. Matty Parcell, for me, he was absolutely outstanding that first half, and quite rightly he got the plaudits for the way that he ripped possession from the lead player. He bears clear. He almost goes over himself for a try. Next play, Ryan Hall bounds over and he gets the ball down. But for me, that was the match winner. That's where, when you look back, that was where the game was won then. Them two tries going back to back, that seemed to be the difference. And Lee never really recovered. He was never able to get back in the game in terms of the scoreline after them two tries.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I've actually got it written down, Matt Parcell. He was absolutely outstanding. Best player on the pitch by a mile for me. For him to do that, to have the nerve to do that in a high-pressure game, it takes some bollocks. And, he, like I said, I actually thought he was going to go over for a try. But like you just said, when Ryan Hall went over, I was just like, we've done this. And there was still like quite a long time to go. But the fact that Ryan Hall, you get him near the line, he's just going to go over. I don't understand why the referee or the video ref was looking so many times at the screen. There was one angle for me where it came from the back and you could just, the ball was down. But again, I don't know if I had my Rovers tinted spectacles on. I was going mad just saying give it a try. And like you said, as soon as he gave it, I kind of knew. I just had a feeling we was going to go and win the game.
Yeah. James, that ball seal from Matty Parcell, he was absolutely red hot. He was on fire. Anything he did just came off for him, and to rip the ball out of him so confidently and be able, like I said, he nearly scored himself, and that would have been one of the tries of the season for me for the way he did it. But Ryan Hall, he showed his power, he showed everything that Ryan Hall is about. He put the ball down, and it was a fantastic try for the Robins. And obviously, Brad Schneider, he goes and puts the 2 points over, and And it's so important as well, isn't it, James? Brad Schneider's kicking. I think it's been forgotten about a little bit about Brad Schneider's kicking. That it's almost, we almost expect him now to kick it. Hmm. And this isn't being something that we're used to as a Hull Kingston Rovers supporter. You know, we're being a bit indifferent with our goal kicking. And credit to Schneider, because he's really took it on. And yeah, he's not got every single kick he's done, but you know, he's winning games with his kicks as well.
He is, and you know, it's a great feeling to have. And I think you're right. You know, we've had Kurt, we've had Abdul. You know, both of, you know, on the day could be really good kickers, but just for whatever reason, not doing it for Rovers. And I think, you know, now when you see Schneider taking a kick at goal, more often than not, you expect him to kick it. You know, it's not as though in the past you're thinking, oh yeah, it may or may not go over. With Schneider, you're thinking, yeah, it's probably got a fairly decent chance of going over. I think really highlight, I think it was last week you posted some the point scorer so far this season. You know, considering he's only been with us since, you know, middle of July, and is, you know, is a top point scorer.
Yeah, well, prior to the league game, James, I think it was on. I think he was on 82 points.
So many, yes, right, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Michael Lewis was second. So incredible, really, when you consider what point. But it's based on his kicking.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, I don't know how many tries he's got, but I don't think it's something about two or three, isn't it? But see, it's all down to his kicking. And more often than not, they are crucial kicks. And I think that conversion to Hall's try, I think, you know, as Craig said earlier in the conversation, that basically was the game then. Because you have to look at that first half and thinking, really, had Lee threatened us? No, they hadn't. I think you look at their players like Epape, he was anonymous, you know, sort of, they weren't sort of making any grounds at all. And you're thinking, if we could just, you know, get a, you know, hold out defensively, be as solid defensively as we have been, that's the game, you know. And I said to my wife, they've now got to start throwing the ball around. They've got to force the game. Then they're going to force errors. And that's going to make it play into Rovers' hands. And they just didn't have anything in response.
No, James, and we expected that to happen. And one player, Craig, who probably didn't have the best game of his career was Gareth O'Brien. I mean, and we exploited that, didn't we? We're talking about Schneider's kicks. Schneider kicks it off. Gareth O'Brien makes an absolute mess of trying to recapture it, and then Sam Lockley goes in for an absolutely fantastic try. I mean, we're talking about players who played well. Sam Lockley, one try, 16 tackles, 5 tackle busts, 11 carries. He made 90 metres. He had 2 clean breaks. He had 3 offloads, which is fantastic when you consider the minutes he was on the pitch. And Sam Lockley goes over for a well-deserved try. Schneider with a kick, Gareth O'Brien with the absolute muck-up. And, you know, we're saying the Ryan Hall try is when the game was won. I think, for me, that was when the game was absolutely signed, sealed and delivered, because you couldn't just see a way back for Lee after that. And, you know, if there's one player who I wish to have a shit game at Craven Park, it was probably him. And thankfully, it came up at a time when we needed him to have this probably shittest game of his career, because he was just not at the races whatsoever. And thankfully for the Robins, you know, great to them, they're the ones who capitalised on it.
Yeah, it was about time he had a bad game against us. I couldn't believe it. I was thinking that as the wind caught the ball, and that I thought for a second, I was like, actually, I don't care, we've got the ball back. But it was a great move, because I remember luckily he was on the right-hand side at one point. So when he actually went over, I was in the north stand. It looked like it was Kane Lynette. It was only when the guy in the tannoy said it was Lockley, and I watched it back when I got home. And what a move. But just going on to Lockley, I think he's been up in his game for like the last few weeks for me. I think Willie Peters said in his press conference the other week, he doesn't realise how good he can be. And so he's expecting more from Lockley. And I think, you know, what he showed on Friday, making breaks, you know, scoring tries, I think he was carrying people again, stay on his feet in the offloads. I think I thought he was one of our best props. I think probably the best prop for us on Friday night. And he deserved his try.
Yeah, he was certainly the best prop on Friday night. And James, if you rewind to the start of the season, I mean, we're signing from Salford, where he wasn't necessarily a regular at the Salford Red Devils. He came into our side. I think many supporters expected him to be a backup player, maybe a bit part player. You know, he'll do a job when he's called upon. Well, he's up there with Michael Lewis and Jez Litton as most appearances this season, and he's undroppable, I think, at this stage. I think he, of all the props, yeah, of course, George King. I think George King, Sam Luckley, them two are pretty much nailed on their position inside now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're right. You're right. I think at the beginning of the season, we did see him very much as a sort of a backup. And I think if you look back to some of the games he was having early in the season, I think he's perhaps trying a bit too hard. You know, he's got an offload. I think sometimes he's trying to force it when he didn't need to, but he's sort of reined that back in now, and it sort of really just does it when, you know, on the right moment. But I think it's the yardage he's making as well, in close contacts, and just, you know, running off the ball. You know, that I think that's another, he's taking his game to another level. And you're right. I think for me, he's one of the first names on the team sheet. You know, I think it's great. You know, he can come on. You know, when you've got somebody of his quality coming on, you know, after 20, 25 minutes, when, you know, King and or Kennedy have been sort of battering the opposition, and you've got somebody like Luckley coming on to give a 15-minute berth just before half time, it just adds another dimension that we, you know, we look back over the years, we've just not had. And now we've got that. You know, we've got that rotation, quality rotation that, you know, the top teams have had, that in the past we've, you know, two decent props to start off with, we've rotated and we've sort of gone back into our shells. We don't have that now, and I think a lot of that credit goes down to Sam Luckley and the impact that he has on the team, and, you know, and on the performance. And that try, you know, it was outstanding.
Yeah,
you know, right place, right time, you know. And he could, you know, he's like a double decker bus through that gap that, you know, had been created. And he said that was the game. Totally sealed.
I was just Craig, I think a couple of weeks ago on social media, I put out that this is probably one of the fittest packs forward lines that I've ever seen at Hulkington Rovers in the Super League era. The fact that we can go into this game against Lee with Abdul Litton on the bench, you know, Abdul obviously filling in the forwards, second row, you know, playing wherever Woody Peters decides he needs to put him. But the fact we're able to go into a game of that magnitude with Staunton and Luckley on the bench, obviously King and Sue, the starting props. I mean, we've not been accustomed to having a forward line as fit as this for a long time. And yeah, that's as well with Sue carrying, you know, obviously injured for a long part of this season. I mean, Kennedy, 18th man, a player who was getting better and better as the season gone on. You know, I think we've been blessed this season with that forward line. And I don't know what is in the water. I don't know whether it's the conditioning. I don't know if it's pre-season. I don't know whether it's just the type of players. But I think that's been key to our success, our relative success this season, is that the pack has been quite consistent. And for a Hulkington Rovers supporter, this is uncharted territory, because normally our forward line is the one that gets decimated with injuries for so many years.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it does come back to pre-season. You know, you set your stall there, you know, you work on your kind of mentality as well as the physical aspects in the pre-season. I think what Willie Peters has brought as well is that he's not scared to drop players if they're not pulling the weight. So I think he's trying to improve players all the time. And just talking about, this is for me the fittest squad we've ever had. But again, I know you're talking about the pack. But when Lee broke down in the second half, I was looking at the players who were coming back, and the props were there, that they were set up in position. And the fact that I was able to try and spring back as quick as I could, get in position to defend, it shows how much the club means to them as well, and how much they don't want to let the teammates down. And it's refreshing. It is so good to see. And it gives the fans more confidence as well. And, you know, in what we're seeing week in, week out.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Craig, it's funny you mentioned that about togetherness and the team spirit, etc. There's something I highlighted and something I picked out. And it was when Lynette absolutely smashed the Pape. In, I think it was mid-60 minutes, 67 minutes, something like that. He did it just after Pape got pulled up by the referee for doing a tackle on Lewis. I think he absolutely mullered Lewis. And I think that tackle from Lynette was a response to Lynette laying, Mbappe laying one on Lewis. And that was almost like, hey, you're going to take him on. Well, I tell you what, we're going to give you it both barrels back. And I don't know if anyone else noticed that, but it just so the fact it was a couple of minutes later just seemed to be quite resonant. I don't know. Did you pick it up, James?
To be honest, I didn't actually know. Yeah. But yeah, going back to that togetherness, I think just the way they celebrate an error, that when they force an error, it's almost they celebrate it as much as scoring a try. And that's great to see, that that togetherness and that cohesion and that camaraderie and just wanting to fight for each other and support each other, it's there and it's so refreshing. We just have not seen that for years.
No, I mean, there was a big moment. I mean, 53 minutes, Pape, he stopped Mello's scoring. Mello's dives over, got done for offside, no try. I mean, if that try had been scored, I mean, it could have been different, who knows. But he was right in giving the offside. I mean, some of the stats, Ryan Hall, 194 metres, Michael Lewis, 152 metres, a player who consistently features high in the stats, Matty Parcell, 144 metres. For me, these two players are just so important. James Batchelor and Minchella. James Batchelor, 43 tackles. I think Minchella, 38 tackles. I mean, absolute engine room in there in terms of defence. And that's, of course, without Dean Hadley being in that side who missed out through injury. He's normally up there with a tackle count. Matty Parcell, though, fed in the tackle count, 31 tackles. Average gain, Matty Parcell, 11 carries, 144 metres, an average gain of 13 metres. Ryan Hall, 9 carries, average gain of 9 metres, 22 carries, 194 metres he made. And Matty Staughton, who just seems to be getting better and better, 9 carries, average gain of 9 metres. 83 metres he made. I mean, some of the stats that they're coming up with that when it counts, and one of the key stats for me as well is I think the way that they kept the lead forwards down in their metres, that they just didn't give them a chance. And it was similar to when we beat them just after the Challenge Cup final, how we just stifled the pack. And I think that's the key to the Robins at the moment, is that that the work they're doing in the middle, Craig, that they seem to be so tight and so controlled of stopping the opposition, which ultimately lays the platform for us to be able to then go and score the points when it counts.
Yeah, it comes back to that togetherness and the work they did in the pre-season. But I think, you've got to give credit to the coach and the staff. I know Delaney, I think he's been getting a lot of praise from the players for, the intensity that he wants them to play at. Again, that just goes with the fitness. But what I will say on Ryan Hall, I don't know if he picks it up, Jono. He actually looks like he picks up an injury as well in that first half. Now, I didn't notice during the game until I watched it back, and it looked like he was struggling with his calf arm. And then all of a sudden, he stays out the play for quite a few sets, and then he's back charging upfield again. So God knows what happened there. But, you look at them stats, and it's playoff rugby, mate. They win your games. If they continue with that on Saturday, again with those stats, we've got a great chance of winning that game.
Yeah, I mean, James, we wax lyrical about Ryan Hall almost every time we do this bloody podcast now. He's like, if he came onto the pitch with a cape on, you won't be surprised, would you? Because he's like the modern-day rugby league superhero. Come off the hour, come off the man. I mean, he made that break, didn't he, where everyone was willing him to go score the try. Tom Briscoe, unfortunately, caught him up. And he's just energy, enthusiasm, professionalism. He's like, if you know, I show my son Ryan Hall, and he says, "I want to be Ryan Hall," because he's fast, he's quick, he's powerful, he's a good guy, and he's just got everything. And you know what? I think we talked about it previously about Ryan Hall. Paul Cook asked him the question on Sky Sports about, have you got one more pre-season? And Ryan Hall joked and said, "Well, what do you mean, just one more? You know, maybe he's looking beyond that." But you look at him, and you know, I'll never ever apologise, and I'll never get sick of talking about Ryan Hall. And you know what? He made a name for himself at Leeds, and quite rightly, he's a Leeds Rhinos legend for what he achieved with them on the international stage. He's took his game to that level, but I tell you what, he's almost reborn at Wolverhampton Rovers, and his time at the club, well, he'll go down the folklore, won't it, for what he's able to do. Some people have said he's the best winger Wolverhampton Rovers have ever had. I'm sort of sitting on the fence on that one yet, because I just think we're here, in the here and now. It's quite easy to say that, and if you look at the players who have gone before him, there's lots of good wingers that Wolverhampton Rovers have had, but Ryan Hall, just a wow of a man and a wow of a player.
Yeah, you had the right word earlier, he's professional. And, you know, he could have easily come to Rovers, you know, he'd done it all at Leeds. You know, okay, his time at the Roosters didn't go as well as expected, and he could have thought, actually, I'll come to Rovers, just wind down my career and just, you know, get a couple of years out of it. But my God, none of that at all. You know, like, you're right. You know, we talk about it every week, and every week it just you know, astounds us every single week. And he is that role model that I think any young player at the club, I think even some of the, you know, the more established players would want to, you know, look up to him and say, well, actually, you know, look at his age. You know, Ryan Hall with his age, and he's still churning out those type of performances week in, week out, with no sign whatsoever of giving in. And we were joking about it yesterday while we're waiting for him to come back, and he's saying, you know, you could see him go for another 2 or 3 years. And if he feels he could do it, you know, why not? You know, why not? If he feels he could do that, yeah, sign him up, you know, get him on that longer term contract. But he has been absolutely astounding for the club. And you know, I still pinch myself every time he runs out in a red and white Rovers, and just thinking, you know, we're actually watching a legend of the game, you know, still churning it out and doing the business, you know, but he's doing it for Rovers.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, mate, my missus keeps pinching herself when she sees him running out for Kingston Rovers as well. And then it's not to do with his ability on the pitch. It's more to do with his, I think when he takes his top off and you see the videos of him singing Red Robin in the changing rooms and stuff. But that's another one. But Craig, I tell you what, a special mention for the supporters on Friday night. What a fantastic occasion, what a fantastic atmosphere. Absolutely propelled the boys onto victory. And what it clearly showed to me is that the team, the crowd, you know, Paul Sewell said it at the Player of the Year Awards, if everybody's heading north, everyone's heading in the right direction, or the same direction, then you achieve success. And at the moment, certain things are just aligning themselves where we're all pointing in the same direction, and there's a great synergy between the supporters and the team right now.
Yeah, definitely. I don't actually know the attendance. I don't think they announced it, but my God, that atmosphere on Friday night for me was one of the best at home this year. I've enjoyed going to more away games in terms of atmosphere. Don't get me wrong, there's been a good atmosphere at home, but Friday night was just on another level. We took someone who has not been to a rugby game before at Craven Park, and there was just, is the atmosphere like this all the time? It's unbelievable. And I think it must give the players a lift. You know, the players have said it enough times, you know, that they're our extra man. You know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I know we're going to be backed on Saturday by another massive following. So, you know, like you said, the club is going places. Everyone's on board. The fans are on board. And it shows with the attendances that have gone up. Well, the average attendance has gone up this year. It was another sellout, I think it was, on Friday. But, yeah, outstanding on Friday night.
Yeah. And I think part of the jubilation and the celebration at Wakefield after we secured the victory and made sure that we got four spot was the fact that we was able to bring Lee back to Craven Park and play there. And I think that was part of it because the players love playing at home. And I think the crowd would play a massive part in that. Of course, James, the crowd are going to play a massive part against Wigan on Saturday. There's a few things that have gone on in between our victory over Lee and our upcoming game against Wigan. I mean, we've had the announcement that, well, not announced, rumoured departure of Danny Maguire. He's apparently seeing out his contract at Hull Kingston Rovers and he's going to be departing to join Castleford Tigers as head coach, although that's not confirmed yet. We've had the announcement of rumoured announcement that Jai Whitbread's coming across from Wakefield to make way for him signing for Hull Kingston Rovers. Reece Kennedy's been let go from his contract. Rowan Milnes is rumoured to be joining Danny Maguire at Castleford as well. In the build-up to one of Hull Kingston Rovers' biggest games in recent memory, it's not ideal preparation, is it, at the start of the season, at the start of the week? Although you'd expect Willie Peters to bat it back, which he did in the press conference today. He didn't field any questions to do with that, which maybe for some people might say, well, sometimes when you don't say nothing, it gives more credence to the fact that it might actually be happening. But it's not ideal, is it, in a week where Hull Kingston Rovers are 80 minutes away from a grand final appearance, you don't want all this kind of noise and nonsense to be going on.
No, you don't. And it just seems uncanny that every time we just get, you know, we've got a big, you know, massive game coming up, there just seems to be something that blows up that, you know, has the potential to upset everything and upset all the preparations. And I think, you know, yeah, it wouldn't be a Rovers without being something like that, would it? I think Willie Peters.
I tell you what, James. You know what? Like, I've seen you today. I've spoke to you.
Yeah.
Do you think like this is like I said to you before? Like, have they been sat on this waiting for it to come out? Because it just the timing of it all just seems bizarre to me. Like, not just one, not two, but three stories breaking about Hull Kingston departures. Assistant coach leaving, blah blah blah, and to be fair, I think it's substantiated by quite a lot of people. Like, these things are true, but it's not suddenly just happened, has it? It's not just happened on Monday or Sunday, and it just feels like, I don't know, the press, whoever has been sat on this, have maybe deliberately waited to release it now, when Hull Kingston Rovers are at the top, when they're the most newsworthy, when people want to know about them. It just seems to be, I don't know, bad time. You know, some people say it's just timing. Other people will say, well, it's deliberate. And I don't know. I'm scratching my head thinking maybe.
No, same here. It just seems a coincidence. You're not telling me that suddenly on Sunday night, Castleford thought, oh, we'll offer the job to Danny Maguire.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so that there have been discussions around that in the past, and you know what the game's like. You know, people whispers come out and rumours start, and people talk to people, and suddenly it becomes, you know, a journalist has got an exclusive. But the way it just seemed to happen on Sunday night, and then got that momentum through the whole week, and just, you know, potentially totally derail the preparations. And when you contrast it to, you know, what happens at the likes of Wigan and Saints and, you know, Catalan. They never seem to have anything like this. You know, if you look at what Wigan news this week, it's all about, well, actually, we've signed Luke Thompson. You know, so it's a positive story for them going forward. Saints, it's about, you know, doing it all for Roby and LMS. And Catalan, it's all about selling out the Brutus with when they don't even know who they're playing. you know, and having to build, you know, extra stands to accommodate everybody. Whereas Rovers, it's, oh, your assistant coach is going to another club. Yeah. You know, I mean, it just seems such a an amazing coincidence.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, isn't it, Craig? I mean, let's dive into it. I mean, Danny Maguire has been a fantastic servant for Hulkington Rovers. He served the club with great integrity. He's probably propelled us to that next level. He came, of course, as a player, raised the standards in terms of his playing ability and the way he brought the players around him into that next level, or tried to do. As an assistant coach, he's definitely contributed to the club. And for me, it's sad that it looks like he's departing. Of course, nothing's officially announced yet. But from the stories I've heard and from the people who've told me about him, it's pretty much going to happen. Obviously, there's a void to be filled there. That's for a different podcast, I think, about who might replace him. But we just don't need this right now, do we? You know, give it a week, because, you know, Rovers could lose on Saturday and the season's over. Announce it after that. There's no rush, is there, to get it out there like it is now?
No, when it came out, it was just like, here we go again. And, you know, like, I found it really frustrating because I thought, as a club, we've moved forward and we don't used to these kind of things happening. So when it happened, I'm like, why is this happening again? We're supposed to be a club on the up, you know. These stories are just the crap. They don't do anyone any favours. Like you said, it's a big game this weekend. The players don't need it. The coach don't need it. They're all together, you know, trying to focus on getting the best performance out of them this week. And for that to come out, you know, I'd be gutted if he does go, because I think he has raised the standards on and off the field. And that means at board level, I think he's had a good relationship with the board. By the sounds of it, with Larkin, he took us on that journey the back end of last year. He's coming as assistant coach. When I've seen him on Sky as well, it looks like he's absolutely loving it at Rovers still. You know, he's loving the partnership with Willie Peters. You know, I'd seen clips. He was still in the box on Friday night. He was down on the pitch with all the players, high-fiving players, hugging players with a big smile on his face. And I'm dumbfounded about where this story's come from. Obviously, there's got to be some truth in it. But I just hope not. And, you know, I know you're probably going to bring up about Jez Litton, but Jez Litton said something in his interview that he loves working with Danny Maggs. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, is there a clue there? I start reading so much into things and thinking, ah, it must be a rumour. He's saying, Jez Litton said that he loves working with him. So, yeah, but at some point he's going to want to coach his own team. And I remember him saying back in the last year he wasn't ready. I don't understand why Castleford, especially if it's true that Danny Ward rejected Cass. I'm just a bit lost with it. I just don't understand it, especially when we're on the up. And I think did Danny Maguire sign a 3-year deal when Willie Peters signed a 3-year deal? And for me, the expectation was Danny Maguire would take over Willie Peters and he would be more than ready. Yeah. Unless he's had a change thought and thinks he's ready now, then fair play to him. But yeah, he's been outstanding for the club.
Yeah. Well, all I'll say is, if he don't end up Cass, he still won't be at Hulkington Rovers next season. I know that for a fact. His contract, that's it. He's done at Hulkington Rovers. He's seen out his contract to the end of the season. Hopefully that lasts longer than Saturday. But he will not be at Hulkington Rovers next season. And it'll be interesting to see who fills the void. Incomings and outgoings, James, Jai Whitbread from Wakefield, quarter player. To make way for him, though, is Reece Kennedy, who's apparently had his contract paid off. I'm calling bullshit on that bird who's on Twitter saying it's his girlfriend. The fact that this Twitter account's been created, no posts previously, no tweets, whatever, or exes, whatever you call them now, and only comments on Reece Kennedy, I'm calling bullshit on that. So, yeah. But the story's broke by all accounts. It's happening. I know that one of his sponsor, which is Wayne Parker, he's been informed that he won't be sponsoring him next season because he won't be at the club. By all accounts, he's probably going to Castleford. He's a funny one with Reece Kennedy, isn't it, James? Because he's a player who got off to a slow start with the Robins, but he seemed to get better, I don't know, each game he played. And by the end, or where we are now, he seemed to be a mainstay of the side. And then he got dropped for the Salford game, and then he was 18th man for Lee. I don't know. Jai Whitbread, obviously, he's what, 25, 3 years younger than what Reece Kennedy is, so you're going to get a bit more game out of him. I don't know. It's a bit of a head scratcher for me. I don't know. I don't know where I am with it.
Because... No, same here as well. I think of all the players that came in from the NRL to the club at the beginning of the season, I think, you know, it's fair to say that Kennedy was probably had the slowest start. And I think in an interview a few weeks ago, he acknowledged that he was a bit, I think, surprised by the UK and the whole experience of being over here. And I think then sometimes you have to give players time to adapt to it. And I think his performances, you know, you could see his improvement in his performances. Yeah, he seemed to be cutting out the errors. He seemed to be cutting out the penalties. You know, his solid solid performances. He was doing, you know, a couple of trials that he was involved in a run around, led some really good tries. And he seemed to be going in the right direction. And then to suddenly sort of say, well, actually, you know, he's not getting picks. But that could be down because Sue was back. And Peter's just said, well, actually, Sue gives me more options and, you know, better performance than Kennedy. And it's a nice position to be in. But, yeah, it does seem a bit of a strange one. I must admit, I don't really know a lot about Whitbread, you know. So all you've got to do in these instances is just, you know, trust the club and Willie Peters and the backroom team, and that, you know, they're making the right decisions. You know, seems to have got most things right so far. But yeah, it just seems strange when he has been certainly progressing, and, you know, I'd say, you know, for a key member of the squad.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, Reece Kennedy, he's been okay, hasn't he? I mean, do you know what? All I'm basing Reece Kennedy on this season, it's probably a bit naive of me, is that based on our previous imports from the NRL who have played in the forward line. I mean, to see Corbin Sims strutting around on the during the NRL Grand Final, I mean, yeah, wow. But obviously, it's not based on his performances previously, and then to see Albert Bette lining up for Doncaster in the League One Grand Final probably shows you where they are. And Reece Kennedy for me is, compared to that, he's up there. So, but maybe that's a sign of the club, Craig, and where we're progressing, the standards we set, the expectations on these players is that we're progressing. And there's no doubt Willie Peters is a hard ass, isn't he? If you're not up to it, you're out. And if you don't think you're up to it, and if you don't fit in, and you don't maybe do what he wants you to do, he'll bring someone else in for the benefit of the club. And that's not a bad place for a head coach to be for us, is it?
No, just like I was scratching my head because I thought it's not been so bad. He's actually improved. I know there was during the season where he came out and said that he wasn't playing at the standard he thought he should have been at, and he went away, did some work, and he came back and he was a lot better. And yeah, but like you said, you know, we've got to trust the coaching team. Willie Peters it comes across like if you don't play well or you don't meet my standards, that another player will come in. And as a club, obviously, we've said already, like, the standards are just going up. So obviously, Willie Peters and the coaching team, they train with him every day, so that they get to see him more than we do. So we'll probably see, he's got some weaknesses there that he might not have been improved on throughout the season, and they just want to go in a different direction. We're just on this, is it Whitbread? Yeah. I've not really heard so much about him either. I've heard he was one of Wakefield's best props, but it's not really saying a lot because I think they've been dire all year. But like he is younger. I've not seen so much of him. I think he's been injured quite a lot this year. I'm not sure how serious the injuries are, but you know, if it is true that Kennedy is going, you know, I wish him all the best. I don't think he's shied away from anything. Like you said, he's a lot better than what we had in previous years. Yeah, it's an odd one.
Yeah, well, another player who's probably on his way out, Ray Milnes. We all probably expect him to go. I mean, signing Tyrone May, John Abdul, Mike Lewis in the halves. You know, it's very difficult for Ray Milnes. We'll speak about him on a podcast to come. James Pearlin, Jez Litton, 4-year contract. Well deserved.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. And I think it's, if you look at, you know, getting someone like Jez tied down for that length of time, and you think, look at all the other players who've got, they've got signed on long-term contracts, you know, like Minchella and Lewis and Abdul. It just really shows that, you know, the club has identified a core group of players who they want to be around for that club for a long time, and to build a squad around them and take us forward. So now you've got Litton signed up. You know, thoroughly deserved. He should be in the England squad. His performances have been absolutely outstanding. He's taking it on to another level. And, you know, he's certainly going to be, you know, the number one hooker when Parcell goes back to the NRL, potentially after his end of next year when his contract runs out. But, yeah, you're thinking, you know, get Litton signed up. You've got Litton signed up. Then you start to look, I think, players like Batchelor, getting him signed up as well, a long-term contract. And it's just, again, it's a different, for Rovers fans, we're actually uncharted territory now, you know, where we just actually think being able to plan for the future. You know, you look at, you know, I said the players are bringing in and signing long-term contracts. It's that, yeah, solid group of players are going to be around for a while, and then potentially bringing in other players from other clubs, you know, like Butterworth, who's rumoured to be signing, Wallace, who's already signed, you know, who then could come in and learn off these players and then potentially move on to into the first team squad in the future. And it's, again, it's just a totally different mindset and direction where the club is going. And it's, you know, you look at the likes of Wigan, you look at the Saints, you know, that's what they've done. You know, they've built the future now, you know, and we're now starting to do that.
Yeah. Long-term planning, confidence, security, you know, it's welcome to season it, because like you said, James, we've been a long time where we've been going from this to that, you know, fitting between players not working out, etc. So the fact that we've come put our confidence in young English talent and secure them on long-term deals is very welcome to see. Shout out to the women's side. I mean, they've gone fantastic this season under Ben Parker. Championship Grand Final, they beat Stanningley in the semi-final at the weekend, 26 points to 12. I mean, amazing, wasn't it, to get but the men's side and the women's side in Grand Finals. Wow, what a story that would be. So all credit to them. They know they can't get promotion this season, but they are absolutely like a steam train. They are desperate for success, and we wish them well. And they got great support on Sunday down at Craven Park, and hopefully for the grand final we'll get even more support, because they're desperate for it and it's well deserved. Craig, Wigan on Saturday, 80 minutes away from the grand final. Our fourth semi-final in, what, 3 years? Only one of them has resulted in a final appearance. Hopefully on Saturday we can make it another final appearance. Squad news, it only looks like Jesse Sue's the one who's an injury doubt. He's got an abductor injury. The good news is that Dean Hadley's looking fit, and he should be ready to go. So it's almost like for life. Any fear of going to Wigan on Saturday and being able to come away with a result?
I was actually saying to James before, and we don't actually have anything to fear, I don't think. You know, the fact we've beat them in one semi-final all year, yes, they'll be up for it because they'll want a game revenge. We've beat them in the league. We've been beat in Golden Point. And obviously, the game before the Challenge Cup final was sent to the young squad. But I don't think we do. They've got individuals like, for me, Field and Ben and French are unbelievable. But we've shown in past games, we've kept them quiet. When we can keep their key players quiet and we stay in within the game, we can win it. So for me, we can go there with full of confidence. It's going to be backed by a big following from the crowd. Again, I honestly think the Rovers players will come out and they'll feel like they're at home. Our fan base is going to be that loud. And yeah, the fact we've beat them already, they should have confidence going into the game, thinking we've beat these. We can do this again on their home turf.
Yeah, and James, Wigan don't have necessarily the best record in semi-finals recently, do they?
No, they don't. I think, you know, we could go there full of confidence. You know, I think last year they played Leeds at the same stage and were expected to win. They didn't. In 2019, they did the same thing with Salford and Salford turned them over. All the pressure on Saturday is going to be on Wigan. You know, they've won the league leaders. They've got this background of not having won these semi-finals. They've got that in the back of their mind that, you know, they know we can compete with them. You know, we've ground out a semi-final win against them already. So, yes, they will be wanting revenge. But if you look at the Rovers team now to the one that played in that semi-final at Leeds, I think it's a much stronger team, a much stronger squad. You know, we've got players back. You know, we've got Abdul back. You know, hopefully we'll have Sue back. You know, we've got Jack Walker, you know, at the back who we couldn't play because he was cup tied. We've got Schneider now who's sort of evolved into his position. You know, we can go there with full of confidence and with no fear at all. You know, and we've got, you know, we're in there. We've got a chance of winning the game. And yeah, go with full confidence.
I was going to say, James, do you think that the team, the 13 and the interchanges pick themselves almost for Saturday? I mean, we know Sue could be missing. So he'd put Hadley in his place. I mean, everyone else is fit.
Yeah.
Do you go for the same team that beat Lee? I'm guessing there's not really anyone else. You won't bring Aiden in, would you? You won't bring Kyle.
No, you wouldn't. No. What's the point? There's no point. You know, if you've got a settled team, and again, it's not something we've had the luxury of having over the past few years. And I think it does. It more or less picks its team. And you think, as you said, if Sue doesn't play and Hadley comes in, you don't lose anything. You know, that's the thing. You know, where we are now, you're bringing in players to replace players, and you're just not losing anything at all. You know, that solidity, that strength, is there. And if it ain't broke, you know, why change it just for the sake of it?
And Craig, how refreshing is it to be at the end of the season, right? Bear in mind, the end of last season, where we barely could get a squad out and we still managed to go beat them lot with 16 men, right? But look where we are now. We've almost got a fully fit squad. And I remember doing a podcast with Paul Cook, and I think it was mid-season. We was talking about injuries and was talking about maybe there'd been pre-season had been too hard and they expected to have a lull. Well, they had that lull and actually we're coming back stronger, you know, than we've ever been that I can recall in Super League for a very, very long time. And you've got players who are not only fit, they're absolutely fighting fit. they're peaking and it's refreshing to see. And that's why I think I've got no fear of going to Wigan on Saturday, and I'm predicting victory. I said it before the league game. I thought we had too much for Lee. We just seem to be red hot at the moment, and you know, probably like you, Craig. I'd rather go to Wigan on Saturday than Catalan on Friday. Let's be honest.
But 100%.
You know, we beat Wigan before. It was a close game, and don't get me wrong, Wigan had a man sent off. Blah blah blah. We beat them in the league. I just, it just no fear for me going to Wigan. And like you said, having 4,500 players behind them sticks, like Headingley, you know, almost sucking in the ball for a try. I just, you know, uncharted territory for Rover supporters almost.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, halfway through the season, you're thinking, oh, Jesus, the injury curse is it as once again. But they must be doing something behind the scenes. And again, I know Willie Peters spoke about recovery sessions. The recovery time is a lot quicker. And, you know, the fact we're getting players back, we've got a fully fit squad barring maybe Sue, but they're peaking at the right time. It's not like they're looking tired and they're out on the feet. You know, like, go back to last weekend, Slee. We looked fresh. You know, obviously the players are tired towards the end of the game. But if it needed to go to golden point, the looks like there was energised enough. And the fact is that they're picking up form. You've got Luckily coming into form at the right time. Mikey Lewis, his partnership with Schneider. Schneider's been with us, obviously, for a few months now. And his game's getting better every week. You've got Jack Walker, was finding his confidence, and it goes for the full squad. It's a great time to be in like the semi final. Like, I just think we are peaking. We're hitting all the right notes.
Yeah, James, what do you think on Saturday? Are you predicting a victory? Do you think they've got it in them to be able to get over the line? I mean, Wigan, formidable outfit. We've already mentioned, haven't we, Jad Field. Bevan French. I mean, Bevan French, he's top assist. You know, there's no doubt Wigan have got a good team, but they're very beatable.
They are. You know, they are a quality squad, and the fact that they won the League Leader Shield, you know, really highlights that. And, you know, if we can control and keep, you know, the likes of Field and French quiet, keep the ball away from Miski, because I think Miski's probably been the find of the season, I think, from any club. You know, keep it away from him. You know, keep the forwards quiet. Then, yeah, why not? You know, we can do it. We've got, again, nothing to fear. And for me, yeah, I'm going for Rovers win. I'm going for Rovers win by about 16 points to 8.
Yeah. What about you, Craig?
I think we need to remain disciplined. Like, again, I think we have done in the last month or so. We get our attack working, but defend like we have been. You know, I think we will win, but I think it'll be by 2 or 4 points. I think it'll be a very close game.
Yeah, 100%. And I tell you what, if you are going to the game on Saturday, make sure you are loud and proud, and you only have to reflect on the Challenge Cup semi-final victory to remember what a huge role the supporters played in that victory. This has been the Red Robin Podcast Weekly, which is powered by Budget Tyres on Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by players, club officials and supporters. And for now, live, love, laugh and be happy.